Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Charlie Usen, Chicago Charlie, producing Other Side of the Glass. Talk more about the Packers coming up here. Don't forget football coverage on WSSP, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get a ton of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. That's T-Mobile.com/switch. Joining us now, his first time, his debut on Wisconsin Sports Daily, is Dan Pizzuta, an NFL writer for the 33rd team, and was just recently on a podcast with Mina Kimes last week. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Pizzuta. Dan, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so I want to get into the NFC North specifically here, as all the cuts have come down today. The Packers yesterday make the trade for Malik Willis to be the backup quarterback. Plans are apparently that Sean Clifford, if he gets through, will come back and be a part of the practice squad. Malik Willis then will be inactive for the first few games. Clifford will be activated as the backup. They gave up a 7th for Malik Willis. If you see the reaction from Tennessee, it was, we were going to cut him anyhow, so we got something for nothing. One guy, one host of the Locked On Titans podcast, said that a lot of people didn't think they could get a ham sandwich from Malik Willis. That didn't inspire confidence for Packers fans. Your thoughts on that Malik Willis trade and what the Packers decided to do at the backup quarterback position?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. I think it definitely gives them a little more upside than they had at the position before, you know. Sean Clifford is a limited passer, I think you could say. So I think there was something that was potentially needed at that backup spot that, you know, you can come in. And I'm all for kind of having a little bit of a, you know, chaotic option for a backup quarterback. I think especially if you need that change to happen, like, in a game, say if, you know, Jordan Love gets hurt during the game, someone needs to come in. I think you have a little more leeway to try to do some different things with a Malik Willis who can run fairly well instead of, you know, like a Sean Clifford or even a Michael Pratt. So I think just kind of having that in the mix, I think just gives a little more a boost for the backup quarterback position, which, you know, for Green Bay was a spot that they didn't really have a lot. And you're not giving up a lot for them. There's still some talent there. Whether that develops into anything, not sure. But, you know, it's a fine kind of little flyer to take up on a spot that is hopefully does not matter at all during the regular season.
You know, the other thing, too, when we talk about this Packers team is that running back position, right? They trade out Aaron Jones essentially for Josh Jacobs. Jones goes and signs in Minnesota. Jacobs signs with the Packers. Then they draft Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. And now with the cuts coming out today, A.J. Dillon goes on the season-ending IR. So he is done for the season already after working his tail end off all this last season. They keep Emmanuel Wilson instead. Do you think that running back room is better now than it was last year?
I'm not sure better, but I think it's probably on par, and it's going to be a little different. I think the thing that really worked for the running back room last year, once it really started going like the second half of the season, it really eliminated negative plays. And I think that was one of the best things that Aaron Jones did. I know everyone kind of remembers those, you know, explosive games he had in the end of the season and the playoffs, but really the way they were able to be productive was just kind of like staying on schedule, not having a lot of negative plays. I think when you bring in Josh Jacobs now, there's a little more boom and bust, a little. There's some negative potential there, but I think there is trust in this Packers offensive line that is going to help bring the best out of Jacobs, and I think there's going to be a little more of an explosive run option, I think, over the course of the full season, now that they kind of have this offense figured out and how they want it to be kind of schematic-wise, especially marrying that run and pass that I think they really got over the second half of the season. So I think there's going to be more explosion in the run game. There might be some more negative plays, so it might kind of even out a bit, but I think having that as a potential weapon that you can actually have some longer runs that you didn't have for, you know, most of the season last year, I think that'll be definitely a positive and why they made that move.
Talking with Dan Pizzuta again, who writes for the 33rd team, joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan. You and Mina Kimes got into talking about Jordan Love in his play last year inside of this Matt LaFleur offense. And we could talk about this division as it sits right now, and I bring it up all the time. Okay, Jared Goff got a lot of money, fine. How much longer will Ben Johnson be his play caller? I think everybody was surprised that he came back, and once that play caller changes, how will that change him? If Caleb Williams gets off to a hot start here in year one, Waldron will probably be gone from Chicago as his play caller. Really, what we're talking about here is the stability of having a play caller like LaFleur with Jordan Love for the last couple of years as Love was learning, and now going forward into the foreseeable future, I think it puts him in a great situation going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you can, you know, marry a quarterback and a play caller like that, it certainly helps. But even, you know, over the long relationship that they kind of had, it still got off to, a bit of a rocky start in the first half last year where they weren't totally sure what the correct offense should be. But by like the middle of the season, they really found what worked. And it was, you know, getting back to a lot of under center, using a lot more of the motion and play action that Aaron Rodgers didn't exactly like to run as much. And, you know, kind of what LaFleur came up with. So he had to change that offense a little bit. I think he got back to his roots a little more. They found that is what worked a lot better for Jordan Love. So I think that they have been able to grow together. They did that last season. Now they get a full off season, kind of knowing this is how the offense should work, and it's going to continue going into, you know, this next season and beyond. I do think they are in a really good spot for the two of them to grow together, and this offense that's, you know, just crazy young in general to grow together just going forward.
What do you think is the weakness to Jordan Love right now as we sit here today going into his second year as a starter? If you said, okay, this is a hole in his game, this is where he has to take the next step.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's some plays that I think maybe a little bit under pressure where he can kind of, you know, try to do a little too much. And I think that's kind of what we saw a lot in the beginning of the season too, where he was just trying to really like force things and make a super throw if he just kind of like relax and let the game come to him a little more. That's when things got a lot better over the second half of the season. So I think that is it there. And I think that potentially could come up a little bit if the Packers are still trying to work out like what the, you know, best starting five is going to be on that offensive line, and if they're, you know, moving around some pieces a little bit. But overall, man, I really like what his game is, and even I think some of the weaknesses that might be there, I think just kind of seeing what he was able to grow into over that second half of the season, I think those positives that he does have, even if there is another weakness or two that creeps up, I think the positives are going to far outweigh some of the things that he needs to work on.
So obviously they get a new defensive coordinator with the Packers in Jeff Hafley. And so far, again, it's preseason. You're not running a ton of stuff. It's very vanilla. I understand all of that. But so far between training camp practices and the limited time we've seen the ones in preseason, I think everybody is relatively excited by how much pressure they're really getting from that front four versus the pressure they were getting when they were in the 3-4, and how this really could be a benefit that maybe this roster with the talent they have should have been playing this the whole time.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing, and I think that's one of the nice things that I just think where they're going defensively, schematically, I think it does really fit with what they have on this roster, especially up front. I think just allowing those guys to be more aggressive and just play fast instead of, you know, playing that gap and a half where they kind of have to, you know, wait a little bit and see the play. I think now having those guys aggressive, I think Rashawn Gary said earlier in the off season, he just feels so much more explosive playing on the end with his hand in the dirt. And if you have a guy like that who, you know, has already been explosive, saying he feels more explosive, that is definitely going to be a good thing. So I think just overall, this entire defense is going to be able to play faster. And I think that is really going to play to a lot of the strengths of the guys they already have on the roster.
Talking with Dan Pizzuta, NFL writer for the 33rd team. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Pizzuta. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM The Fan. Let's talk about projections going forward in the NFC North. How do you see this division stacking up?
Yeah, I mean, I lean toward the Packers being the favorite, but I think them and the Lions are very close. I wouldn't be surprised, either way how they come out. I think this is just a really fun division in general. And I think said on the podcast I did with Mina, I think whoever finishes fourth in this division, I think is going to be the best worst team in a division. I just think there's a lot of talent here. There's a lot of fun. Just teams and doing some cool things, which I think is really great in the division. But I think just because of how young the Packers are, how much I think they can continue growing. I think the Lions right now, we know what they are, and that can be very good. But I think the Packers just kind of have this other level that they might be able to get to offensively and defensively if that clicks. And if both of those things click, I think that defense is going to be a big part. If that defense clicks immediately, I think the Packers are one of the best and most interesting teams in the league just because of all that talent coming together with the offense that I'm already just kind of projecting should be pretty good. So if that defense can come together, man, the Packers could be, you know, a real dangerous team throughout the year.
We talk about the NFC and it not being as tough as the AFC necessarily at the end of the day. ESPN just did a survey and they did overrated and underrated, 103 different NFL players or whatever. And Brock Purdy got some overrated votes in there. Jordan Love got some underrated votes in there. If you were to stack up your best quarterbacks in the NFC, where would Love kind of fall in the NFC side of things?
Ooh, he's definitely up there. I mean, when you just kind of look at what he can do just kind of on his own and how he grew, I would put him, you know, I think Matthew Stafford has been really good these past couple of years. I think he'd be up there. I think Dak Prescott is still great. You know, he'd be around the Jalen Hurts. You know, he's probably maybe three or four, I would say, just kind of right now with, again, the potential to grow, because I think we've only seen kind of like the beginning of what Love can be. So I think, you know, taking that second half of the season, finding out what that offense was, and then being able to build it over another off season going into this season, you know, he could be a top one or two in the NFC, and I would not be surprised if that's where we fall at the end of the season.
If he's top one or two in the NFC, then this team has every opportunity to go to a conference championship game or possibly, you know, to a Super Bowl right away in his second year as starter. That would be phenomenal, I guess, from a Packers fan's perspective. Dan Pizzuta, NFL writer for the 33rd team. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Pizzuta. I always let you, somebody that comes on, promote away whatever it is that they want to promote. So go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks. You can just Remus, on anything I write, I have put on Twitter at Dan Pizzuta. Also, pick up the FTN Almanac, which is one of the reasons I was on Mina Kimes' podcast. I wrote all the chapters for the NFC North this year. So if you go to ftnfantasy.com/almanac, it's one of the best ways you can kind of get ready for the season. So much information in there. It's a thing I was reading well before I was writing for it. So if you go that, I have a big Packers chapter, all of the NFC North, was also me. So happy to be promoting that, because it's just a great piece of work.
Awesome. Sounds good, man. Appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we'll get you on throughout the season.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Take care. There he is, Dan Pizzuta, NFL writer for the 33rd team.